It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's so good that you joined me for the program today. I want to talk today about trusting God. You know, I love definitions, and I looked up the definition of trust, and this is what it means. It means a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of something or someone. When you trust God, you literally are believing in His reliability. You're believing that He's truthful to you. You believe in His strength. You believe that He's going to see you through, no matter what the circumstances. One of the greatest verses in the Bible comes from the wisdom of Solomon. He said this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of the most important verses you could ever memorize. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let me read this from my favorite paraphrase, which is The Message by Peterson. This is the way he puts it. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. The world we're living in seems crazy at times. And if you allow yourself, you can become fearful or unsettled at everything that's going on in the world. Our country today seems more divided than it ever has been before. But friend, you can trust God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the first five verses, he talks about what the times will be like in the end of time. He said this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." And then Paul says this, "have nothing to do with them." So how do we face difficult days like the times we live in today? I believe the answer is found in these two verses I read this morning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We trust in the Lord. Perhaps you've heard of Charles Blondin. He was the famous 19th century French tightrope walker, and he was an acrobat. And Blondin was famous for the tightrope act. 160 feet above Niagara Falls, he would walk on a rope that was over 1,000 feet long. And you know, in 1860, a royal party from Britain saw Blondin as he crossed the tightrope on stilts. And then again, he did it blindfolded. And after that, he stopped and cooked and he ate an omelet. And next, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other and he returned with a sack of potatoes on it. And then Blondin approached the royal party, and he asked the Duke of Newcastle, he said, "Do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in that wheelbarrow?" "Yes, I do," said the Duke. "Hop in," then replied Blondin. Well, the Duke declined his challenge. He might have believed Blondin could do it, but he wasn't about to trust him with his own life. And I think sometimes we treat God like that. We believe there is a God, we believe He's all-powerful, but when it comes to trusting Him with our own life, that's another matter. I love the book of Job, and you read the story of the man who faced probably the worst trials that anyone has gone through in history. His children died, he lost all of his wealth, he lost his health. And Job said this, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I will trust Him." That's what Job said. He believed in his heart that God had his best interest at heart. My friend, do you trust God today with whatever it is you're facing? You might be thinking, Keith, why should we trust God? Well, through the years, we learn that He's faithful. And we trust Him because of His character. The very first command that God gives us here in Proverbs 3:5 is, He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word in Hebrew means to lean with the full body, to lay upon, to rest the full weight upon God. In our thinking, the word trust means to simply rely upon or to have confidence in. But to the Hebrews, it was much stronger. It's the idea of stretching yourself out upon a bed and laying on a hard surface. That means you put your full weight on something. To trust God means you're giving it all to Him. You're not holding anything back. And then the second command Solomon gave us was to not lean on our own understanding. I think that's the hard part. We live in a world that's consumed with self-importance. It's the me generation. Oh, the insanity of trusting in ourselves. There's so many times when we think we know better than God, or at least it appears that way. There have been times when I've had people come in for counseling and they ask for advice, and sometimes I'm totally shocked when people actually take it and they put it into practice. Because most of the times, we like to just trust ourselves. And then he said, lean. Lean not on your own understanding. That word lean means to rest upon for partial support. God is saying here, if you want to be wise and have success, you can't depend on your own mental capacity to have everything figured out. I mean, it's good to have a plan, but God is not saying here, flush your senses. He's saying, don't totally depend on your flesh or you'll end up being disappointed. David said in Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7, he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, his power as a king was not because he had a great army. David's power was not his horses or his chariots that made him mighty. It was his God. He knew that his God would see him through no matter what he faced. On March 30th of 1863, President Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of fasting and prayer. Let me read to you just a small part of that proclamation that he put before Congress. It said this, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of fasting and prayer that we would acknowledge God in all his ways. And that's what Solomon told us to do there in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And then he said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the third command here in the beginning of Proverbs 3 and verse 6, to acknowledge him. To me, this verse always gives the implication of God walking around the room and us ignoring him. He says, just acknowledge me. He said in Proverbs 1 verse 7, Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God doesn't want us to be a robot where he commands every move. He wants us to acknowledge him, to pray and seek his will, and then to just make good choices. God's not against wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. But acknowledging God goes beyond believing God. It's recognizing His presence, and it's acting on His counsel. I believe believing is not so much the issue, because according to the Gallup poll, belief in God has always been very high in the United States, ranking in the mid-90% range for the last 60 years. Only 80% believe He watches over them and answers their prayers, and only 60% declare their complete trust in God. So acknowledge, it's a command. It's an imperative form of the verb to know. God wants you and I to acknowledge Him. You could translate this by saying, in all your ways, know Him. Know God. So the underlying Hebrew word here means to know deeply and intimately God. It's the kind of knowing that comes with personal experience. It means you know from past history that God will be there no matter what you face. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, the Apostle Paul, he said this. He knew what it was to acknowledge God. He said, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." And Solomon told us in Proverbs 16 and verse 3, he said, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." Commit your works to the Lord, whatever you're doing, commit it to God, and your plans will be established. And then the Bible concluded in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and said, if you do all this, He'll make your paths straight. Now, this doesn't mean He'll make your way easy. It just means He'll make your path clear, and He will go before you and clear the way. God's path is not the one we choose naturally. Usually, faith involves going against what our natural mind tells us to do. But the Bible says in the King James, He'll direct your paths. But I think the NIV is a little better. It said, He'll make your path straight. It has the idea of a road that appears to be impassable. The road winds through the mountains and goes down into the swamps, but it seems to have 1,000 switchbacks. But as you study it, you discover that portions of the road are washed out, others are filled with potholes, still others have huge boulders. But all of a sudden, when you commit your way to the Lord, He makes your path straight. He makes it bearable. We want a formula, but God wants a relationship. See, in Isaiah 30, 21, He said, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" That's what it's like to be led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean our road is always easy. It simply means that God will make His path clear, and He'll get us through. In Jeremiah 10:23, He said, "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for a man to direct his steps." See, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is talking not here about the organ that pumps our blood. He's talking about your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. And to the Jews, it also meant their memories. So you trust in His presence. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We've been talking today on Fresh Oil about trusting in the Lord with all your heart and acknowledging Him in your life, and then God will make our paths straight. Thanks for joining me. Walk in Grace.
Fresh Oil is pleased to announce the release of Keith's book entitled The Grace Revolution. Available now on Amazon in paperback, hardcover, and Kindle ebook edition. In his book, The Grace Revolution, Pastor Keith Manley shares the gospel of God's grace, giving us a radical shift from performance-based religion to the life-changing power of God's amazing grace. Pastor Keith also released a study guide, helping the reader to explore the grace of God and how life-changing it can be for the reader. To get your copy today, go to Amazon.com and search Keith Manley, The Grace Revolution.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.